retreat. This is CamilleBot.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from Lower Manhattan, New York City, the financial capital of scenic and densely populated American Northeast. Today is Thursday, the 27th of April, 2017. Sorry we missed last week. This week we're covering 2 weeks in a row, so you got plenty here. Sorry again. On this date in 1570, Pope Pius V issued a papal bull excommunicating Queen Elizabeth I of England. After Elizabeth, a Protestant, crushes a Catholic rebellion, the bull released her subjects from allegiance to her and said that any Catholics in Britain who obeyed her orders would be excommunicated as well. All of this caused relations between Protestants and Catholics in Britain to worsen. 1909, Ottoman Sultan Abdulhamid II is removed from power and replaced by his brother Mehmed V. This is important because Mehmed was the first, last, and only Ottoman Sultan to be a figurehead holding no real power, and the last sultan, period. Under his reign, the empire is led first by a parliamentary government, then by the dictatorship of the three pashas. 1986, the Ukrainian city of Pripyat and the surrounding area is evacuated due to the Chernobyl disaster, which occurred the previous day. In the disaster, 31 people are killed directly. Millions of others are affected by radiation. By the year 2000, 5% of Ukraine's population is designated as suffering from radiation poisoning. 1992, Serbia and Montenegro declare the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia, the successor state of the Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. This comes after Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and Macedonia all declare independence the previous months. 1994, South Africa holds the first ever National Assembly election in which black citizens are eligible to vote. Nelson Mandela's African National Congress wins a majority with 63% of the vote. The National Assembly later elects Mandela as the country's president. It was there. I was there in the Western Transvaal with a group of Malawian election observers. Birthdays are Ulysses S. Grant, Coretta Scott King, and Casey Kasem. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. Constitutional Reform Commission held its final meeting on the 22nd of April, shortly after publishing its proposed draft constitutional amendments. The draft contained no surprises, making the president elected by parliament, members of the regional political councils, rather than by direct election, and changing the parliament's current mixed proportional majoritarian electoral system by doing away with majoritarian districts, banning electoral blocks, and distributing unallocated mandates to the party that receives the most votes. Because the 5% threshold for entering parliament would stay in place, there will most likely be a lot of unallocated mandates, so the system would probably heavily favor Otsneba in the next election in 2020. The draft also includes a provision to define marriage as between one man and one woman with the purpose of starting a family. Same-sex marriage is already illegal under Georgia's civil code, so this provision doesn't serve any practical purpose except help the party score points with socially conservative voters. There were some other amendments assessed positively by civil society organizations. For example, the draft includes a provision on integration into the EU and NATO. It ensures that the public broadcaster and prosecutor must be fully independent from other state agencies. The draft proposal did not go over well with the political opposition, the president, and most of the civil society groups. A group of NGOs that include the Georgian Young Lawyers Association, or GYLA, the hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, and a few others issued a statement sharply criticizing most of the proposed amendments, especially those for electing the president and parliament, and amendments on prohibiting same-sex marriage. The statement also criticizes amendments that would make Supreme Court judges who are elected for life elected by a simple majority in Parliament after being nominated by the High Council of Justice. In the NGO's view, that would give the council too much power and jeopardize the independence of the Supreme Court, which is, of course, the whole idea. Members of seven opposition parties responded by boycotting the commission, saying the proposed amendments would consolidate Otsneba's power in the country. Those party are the National Movement, the Movement for Liberty, European Georgia, State for the People, the Alliance of Patriots, Burjanadze Democrats, Free Democrats, and the Labor Party. President Margvelashvili also took aim at the amendment, saying that they maintain the president as the nominal commander-in-chief, but don't allow the position to have the powers and capabilities necessary to do the job. For example, the amendments would do away with the president's National Security Council. Mark Velashvili also criticized plans to do away with direct election of the president and change the system for electing the president, saying that both are at odds with the logic of democracy. The commission will publish the finalized proposal on the 30th of April. Parliament is expected to vote on them in the next reading in June. On a related note, 25 organizations, including trade unions, academic youth organizations, and members of the Socialist Party, submitted an appeal to the Constitutional Commission asking that it revoke Article 94 of the Constitution, commonly referred to as the Economic Freedom Act, which says that income and corporate taxes can only be increased by referendum. The appeal calls Article 94 a clause directed against the Georgian people because it prevents the government from raising the tax revenue necessary to fund comprehensive economic development programs. It also says the economic policy should be decided by the democratic political process and not enshrined in the Constitution. They are, of course, absolutely right. This whole thing was Lado Gurganidze's idea back when he became prime minister back after 2008, when everything was such a mess after the war. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov visited Abkhazia last week to meet with the region's leaders and attend the official ceremony of the opening of the Russian embassy in Sukhumi. During the visit, Lavrov affirmed that Russia will continue to guarantee Abkhazia's security against external aggression and that he expects a non-aggression pact to be signed with Tbilisi in the future. In addition, he stressed that Russia is open to resuming the transit connection between Russia and Armenia that would pass through Abkhazia and Georgia, and that all other sides are in favor as well, including Georgia. And it's just a matter of getting the timing and details right. Lavrov's visit was sharply criticized by Georgia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, who pointed out that Lavrov violated a number of laws in the process. First, by entering Abkhazia through the border with Russia in violation of Georgia's law in the occupied territories, and second, by establishing illegal diplomatic representation on Georgia's internationally recognized territory. President Mark Velashvili was also critical, saying that Lavrov's visit goes against the principles of the August 2008 ceasefire agreement. He also expressed worry that Otsneva's policy of strategic patience and a constructive approach towards solving the conflicts isn't working because it's being met with more violations of its sovereignty and territorial integrity by the Russian Federation. Over in South Ossetia, Anatoly Bibilov was inaugurated as the region's president on the 21st of April. He also outlined his policy priorities. He wants to push through a referendum on formally integrating South Ossetia into the Russian Federation, but said he will consult with the Russian leadership and local political forces before deciding how to proceed. During his campaign, he said he wanted to hold the referendum during 2017. He also plans to establish more ties with outside countries and political parties, mentioning the Italian Lega Nord and the People's Republics of Donetsk and Luhansk as groups he's been in contact with. Bibilov also talked about domestic issues, saying the next parliamentary election in 2019 will be held according to a mixed proportional majoritarian system, replacing the fully proportional system that was in place for the previous two elections. South Ossetia's current cabinet resigned on the 24th of April, and Bibilov will appoint a new cabinet during the next 2 weeks. In travel to and from Georgia, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban was in Tbilisi on the 21st of April for a Georgia-Hungary business forum. His visit was met with a protest led by alumni of Central European University who stood outside the Marriott where the conference was taking place and held signs saying, "I stand with CEU." Thank you, one and all, for attending. The demonstration was met by a counter demonstration by Georgian ultra-nationalists who opposed George Soros, the founder of Central European University. Both demonstrations were relatively small. The mood was pretty calm. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif was in Tbilisi last week to meet with Foreign Minister Mikhail Janalidze, as well as Prime Minister Gyorgy Kvitakashvili and Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze. They talked about building a transit corridor that could link Georgia's Black Sea ports with Iranian ports in the Persian Gulf. Prime Minister Kvitakashvili made his own visit to Tehran on the 22nd of April, where they discussed a transit corridor in more detail. The Iranian side also expressed its readiness to provide Georgia with natural gas. After that trip, the Prime Minister flew to Bucharest to meet with his Romanian counterpart, Sorin Grindeanu. Visit focused on transit and energy cooperation. Defense Minister Levan Izori was in Paris last week meeting with his French counterpart, Jean-Yves Le Drian. They worked out details for implementing the air defense agreement signed by the two countries earlier this month. Estonian Foreign Minister Sven Mikser came to Tbilisi on the 24th of April to meet with Foreign Minister John Alidze and discuss Georgia's integration into the EU and NATO. Estonia currently holds a presidency of the Council of the European Union, not the Council of Europe, but the Council of the European Union, which is kind of where the action is. So the visit had special significance. Georgian delegation, including Agriculture Minister Levon Davidashvili, was in Saudi Arabia from the 24th to the 26th of April. The two sides discussed the possibility of Saudi Arabia importing livestock, meat, dried fruit, honey, and water from Georgia. No idea if the delegation asked the Saudis to stop destroying Yemen. Probably not. Opportunity lost. Turkish government is pretending the public voted yes in a referendum to amend the country's constitution to increase presidential powers. The vote replaces the current parliamentary system with an executive presidency in which President Recep Tayyip Erdogan will be able to appoint judges without oversight from parliament, as well as issue decrees and dissolve parliament at his own discretion. He'll also have control over all senior civil service appointments and exercise control over the armed forces. The post of prime minister will be abolished. The majority of Turkish citizens who voted in Georgia ticked the box for no, just under 60%. Two polling stations were open in Georgia, one at the Turkish embassy in Tbilisi and one at the consulate in Batumi. 711 of the 1,789 eligible voters in Georgia cast votes. Georgia's government was cautious about the whole thing, commenting that it respects and welcomes the decision of the Turkish people and that it values Turkey as a strategic partner in the region, meaning they're a little chicken, and recognize that Erdogan is extremely vindictive. Newly elected Abkhaz parliament held its first session. They elected a chairman, Valery Kvarchia, and three deputy chairmen, Said Khazarazia, Levan Gulastyan, and Mikhail Sangulia. Kvarchia is close to Abkhaz President Raul Khajimba. During his opening address, Khajimba called on the new parliament to make needed economic and social reforms. Also, Abkhaz related the authorities there are beginning to issue residence permits for ethnic Georgians. The permits are good for periods of up to 5 years and are available to residents of the region who do not have Abkhaz citizenship. Permit is available to people who have lived in Abkhazia for the last 10 years during the period after 1919, but persons who stay outside of Abkhazia for periods of up to 6 months at a time will be stripped of the document. The residence permit doesn't come with full legal rights. For example, holders can legally sell property in Abkhazia, but they can't buy it. Israel implemented stricter rules for considering asylum applications by Georgians. Those who have their applications refused will be deported immediately, whereas under the previous rules, they had 1 week to leave the country on their own. According to the Israeli authorities and the Georgian Interior Ministry, many Georgians have stayed there illegally after having their applications rejected, so there is a need for a new system. Also, most applications are now being rejected automatically as Georgia is recognized as a safe country by the Israeli government. Also out of Israel, on the 24th of April, Georgia's ambassador Pata Kalandadze met with the Patriarch of Jerusalem, Theophilus III. During the meeting, Kalandadze expressed concerns about an earlier meeting between Theophilus and the delegation from Abkhazia when he reportedly promised he would pray for the region's political leadership. Theophilus assured the Georgian ambassador that there was no political context behind the meeting. State Security Service published its annual report for the year 2016. The report assesses the main threats to national security and Russia's military presence in Abkhazia and South Ossetia topped the list as an existential threat to Georgian statehood. Other problems in the occupied territories were listed too: discrimination against ethnic Georgians, restrictions on freedom of movement, crime, illegal detentions, and Russia's practice of moving the administrative boundary line deeper into Georgian territory. Terrorism was also mentioned. While Georgia hasn't been a target of major terrorist attacks and the number of Georgians joining Daesh or other terrorist groups has declined recently, it's still a concern that the State Security Service is watching closely. Also, many fighters from Russia have used Georgia as a transit area to get to Syria and Iraq. 68 candidates applied for vacant positions on the European Court of Human Rights, or ECHR, a position that Georgia has the right to nominate a judge to. A 13-member commission under the Ministry of Justice will narrow the pool of candidates down to 5, then the government will narrow it down to 3 nominees. Council of Europe Parliamentary Assembly, which oversees the ECHR, will make the final decision on the new judges. Parliamentary Assemblies previously rejected all 3 Georgia nominated candidates on the 24th of January, saying they all lacked qualifications. The tenure of Nona Tsotsodia, the previous Georgia nominated judge in ECHR, expired on January 27th. Ambassador to the UK Tamar Berutashvili was named Eurasia's Diplomat of the Year by Diplomat Magazine, which covers the diplomatic scene in the UK and has been giving out awards for 9 years. On the 22nd of April, 2 Georgian citizens were arrested trying to smuggle $90,000 out of Myanmar, or Burma, depending on your preference. The 2 are 64-year-old Revaz Janjgava and 51-year-old Mahaz Narmania. They were arrested at Yangon Airport. Police think they stole the money from a currency exchange office the previous day. Both entered Myanmar on tourist visas. Dying to hear the dialogue of those two guys, you know, sitting over Chacha and Kutaisi discussing that plan. A Georgian citizen was abducted by Russian border guards on the 26th of April at the administrative boundary line near Gori. The man, Eldar Gundishvili, was picked up while herding cattle near his home, which is only a few hundred meters from the boundary line. It's the second time that he's been abducted by Russian border guards. President awarded local activist Akaki Sinjikashvili with the St. Nicholas Order for his charity work in Tbilisi. Sinjikashvili started driving a cab in March 2016 and using the proceeds to buy breakfast for the homeless. Since then, he's raised 92,870 lari for charitable causes. That money has gone to things like paying for surgeries for children and paying the rent for families in need. The Georgian and French governments are putting up 40 million lari in co-financing to upgrade the cable car system in Chiatura. The project, which has already begun, involves upgrading 4 cable car lines with new gondolas and stations. The town's cable car system was first built in 1954 and is an iconic symbol of Chiatura. Geostat published statistics on external trade during the first 3 months of 2017. Imports and exports combined topped $2.28 billion, an 18% increase from the same period 1 year earlier. Most encouraging, exports were up 30.3%. Also, exports to the EU accounted for $159 million, not a huge amount, but a 44% increase from the first 3 months of 2016. Overall, the largest trading partners were Turkey, Russia, Azerbaijan, China, and Germany, in that order. The CAPA Center for Aviation issued a report projecting Georgia's passenger traffic to increase by 40% annually this year. They cited the fact that several airlines are launching service to Georgia for the first time this year. Nordavia, Sevastral, Red Wings, and several other expanding. Deprina Avia, Flex Flight, Alina Air, and Air Arabia. Last year, passenger traffic increased 26% from 2015. Over the next 2 to 3 years, a 15-hectare tea plantation will be restored in Khoni in western Imereti under the Georgian Tea Program. The rehabilitation works will cost 37,000 lari, 37,735 lari, about 80% of which will come from the Agricultural Projects Management Agency. Government launched the Georgian Tea Program in 2015 to resuscitate the Soviet-era industry. Since then, more than 500 hectares of tea plantations have been restored and are back in use. Representatives of Nugbadi, a company that produces Churchella for the domestic market, said it's in negotiations with importers from Ukraine and Russia. The company was founded in 2015, currently produces about 2,000 Churchella per day. They sell for about 2.5 lari each on the domestic retail market. 3 friends from Tbilisi, Kakhabar Gabelaya, Rati Tsakadze, and Elena Kipiani, recently opened Pepela, a Georgian bar and restaurant in Dusseldorf, Germany. It's believed to be the first Georgian restaurant in the city. It's open every day except for Mondays, and it has a full Georgian menu. Nana Zaganidze won first place in the Women's European Chess Championship in Riga on the 22nd of April. She's the first Georgian ever to win the competition. A film starring Georgian actor Mehdab Ninidze is up for Best Picture at the Cannes Film Festival, which takes place next month. The film is called Jupiter's Moon and is directed by Hungarian director Cornel Munzruko. The Vacep Chavela Reading Space will open in the Georgian National Library soon, although the exact date's not been announced. The space will host lectures as well as workshops and is intended to help promote reading and learning among young people. Parliamentary news and defense. The defense minister submitted to Parliament a concept for the creation of a larger, stronger reservist force that would supplement the regular army in the event of a full-scale conflict. The reservist force would be voluntary and open to men and women age 18 to 55, divided into three categories: the Armed Forces Reserve, demobilized soldiers from the regular army who commit to spending at least 5 years in the reserve army; a territorial reserve, where members would be deployed only in their home district; and civilian specialists, such as civil engineers, who have skills that the army needs. Reservists would be mobilized for 45 days of active service each year. The defense ministry wants to launch a pilot scheme for the new reserve army in 2018. The optimum strength of the armed forces' reserve would be 1,500, and for the territorial reserve, 10,000. On the 20th of April, the hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International, Georgia, submitted a draft bill to Parliament that would ban all forms of pre-election agitation that include threats of Russia violating Georgia's territorial integrity and constitutional order, the country's independence and sovereignty, and legitimization of occupation. According to TI, the bill is intended to neutralize Russian attempts to influence Georgia's political environment by spreading pre-election agitation. If passed, the bill would involve amendments to several laws: the law on broadcasting, the electoral code, political unions and citizens law, the law and constitutional court of Georgia. On the 21st of April, Parliament ratified Georgia's agreement to join the European Energy Community, which is, as I have mentioned before, an incredibly big deal. It was signed last October. By signing and ratifying the Energy Community Treaty, the government commits to implementing EU regulations and rules on electricity and gas networks, the environment, renewable energy, energy efficiency, and energy statistics. Most importantly, this will mean that Georgia is now a part of the network that negotiates with Gazprom, among others. There was a confrontation in Parliament on Wednesday between well-known knuckle-dragging doofus Emzar Kvitsiani of the Patriots Alliance and Giga Bokeria of the Movement for Liberty European Georgia. It came during the State Security Service's presentation of its annual report. Kvitsiani made a joke that the hearing should be open to the public because it was already being attended by a foreigner, Bokeria. Bokeria said something back, and Kvitsiani threw a glass of water at him. Kvitsiani was stopped by security before the incident could go any further. The meme this week pokes fun at Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze and his unkempt hairstyle. Above the picture of Kobakhidze, the caption reads, "If you ever feel useless, just think about this guy's barber." Stuff to read for Eurasianet. Gheorghe Lomsadze writes about two new films, The Promise and The Ottoman Lieutenant. Critics agree that neither film is very good, but they're important because they present very different narratives about the Armenian genocide. The Promise is a big-budget Hollywood film funded by the late Armenian-American businessman Kirk Krikorian and highlights the destruction of the Armenian people. The Ottoman Lieutenant is a smaller film. It's a Turkish-American joint production that glosses over the atrocities. War is bad. People get killed. The consensus: The Promise is not so great, but The Ottoman Lieutenant is incredibly bad. Stephen Cook of Foreign Policy comments on the referendum results in Turkey. In his view, it's a lot more than a referendum on Erdogan or presidentialism. It's a referendum on whether to reject Turkey's Republican past and try to restore some of the principles of the Ottoman era. The predecessor to Erdogan's Justice and Development Party was historically critical of republicanism and secularism that came with it, and preferred for Turkey to turn away from Europe and towards the Islamic world. The referendum will make Erdogan much more powerful, but he doesn't simply want power for power's sake. He wants to fundamentally transform Turkey by making it more Islamist, more conservative, and more of a regional power within the Middle East. Anna Nemtsova for the Daily Beast covers Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov's visit to Abkhazia. She interprets it as a slap in the face not only to Georgia, but to the United States, as it chips away at the credibility of a country that is supposed to be both a strong ally of Georgia and the primary defender of territorial integrity around the world. It's yet another reminder that the U.S., NATO, and EU are powerless to stop Russia from violating Georgia's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Eto Buziashvili of Civil.ge interviews Brian Whitmore of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. He's optimistic that the West can turn the tide on the information war against Russia. North America and Europe are currently in a period of self-doubt, but that's a natural process from which liberal societies usually emerge stronger. He also said that journalists should ditch the idea that they have to present all sides of the story as if they have equal validity. In some cases, there's only one side worth presenting. For example, the side that says Russian-backed separatists shot down the MH17 flight over Ukraine, period. He also said the EU and NATO should be more honest with the Georgian public about membership in the institutions. Disillusionment in Georgia could prepare the ground for Russian propaganda, and to a degree it already has. Caucasus Analytical Digest devotes, in addition to the influence of political Islam in the South Caucasus, there are three articles. Jean-François Rathiel investigates the causes behind the downfall of the North Caucasus insurgency, focusing on counterinsurgency and the massive inflows of foreign fighters to Syria and Iraq. He argues that the potential return of foreign fighters and ongoing discriminatory policies against Muslims in Russia could trigger a new upsurge in violence. Michael Cecere looks at the growth of non-Chechen Islamist extremism in Georgia, focusing on ethnic Georgian Muslims in Ajada. Lastly, Arzu Gebula explores the presence of religious groups in Azerbaijan, finding that economic, political, and social grievances drive popular dissent there. Media Development Foundation publishes its annual anti-Western propaganda report, which is based on the monitoring of Georgian media outlets through 2016. They look for anti-Western messages and disinformation spread by media outlets and other sources, such as politicians, clergy, members, and civil society representatives. As for media, they look at the following eight broadcasters: the Georgian public broadcaster, Rustaviori, Imedi, Maestro, Tabula, GDS, Objektivi TV, Kavkasia TV, seven online news outlets, Sakinformi, Netgazeti, Marshall Press, Interpress News, Georgia and World, PIA, Kvitis Palitra, and four newspapers, Resonanci, Prime Time, Asavaldo Savaldi, and Alia. The most anti-Western sources were Objektivi TV and Asavaldo Savaldi newspaper, the online news outlets of Georgia and World and Sakinformi, and the newspapers Alia and Kvitis Kronika. Not surprisingly, the most anti-Western political parties were the Alliance of Patriots and the Bourgeoisie Democrats. About one-third of anti-Western messages focused on issues of identity, human rights, and values, and a fifth focused on NATO. It's a really, really good report. Check it out. Very, very important and a comprehensive job. Calvert Journal lists 10 works of fiction from the Caucasus that are worth trying out. Two Georgian works made it on the list: Dagny by Zura Karumidze, and A Man Was Going Down the Road by Otar Chiladze. Virtuoso pianist Khatia Buniatashvili is interviewed by France 24. She talks about her nickname. The pop star pianist discussed what it was like to collaborate with Coldplay and discusses her most recent album, where she performed works by Rachmaninoff. Longtime Georgia resident Will Cathcart writes for the Daily Beast about Boris Akunin, Russia's most popular novelist and prominent critic of Putin. Akunin was born in Zestaponi in 1956, but moved to Moscow as a young child. First became a vocal critic of the Putin regime in 2011. Putin apparently was a big fan of Akunin's books before the author got involved in political action. Yours Truly was interviewed and quoted about Akunin's first play that has just premiered in New York. It is Hamlet, A Version, opened off Broadway this past Tuesday, was a wild success, according to the New York Times Review. All that stuff's posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 1.3, the number of kilograms of coffee consumed per year by the average Georgian, according to statistics from the International Coffee Organization. That puts it very low in the worldwide rankings. Finland leads by 12 kilograms per person per year, followed by Norway with 10, Iceland with 9. The only non-European country to get into the top 10 was Canada, which was 10th at 6.2 kilos per person per year. Malchaz Ekvanidze is putting on a number of singing workshops in London in late April, early May. His tour started with an evening workshop in Bristol on the 24th of April, wraps up with two workshops in North London on the 3rd of May. We heard about it from the British Georgian Society. If interested, send an email to bernardmburns@gmail.com indicating which session you want to attend. Malchaz is an eminent Georgian musician and choir leader. He's currently the head of Sakioba Ensemble. Songs will be taught by ear, so no sight reading is required. Ukrainian Film Days Film Festival is going on right now, screening at Miadani Cinema from Thursday through Sunday. The festival features documentaries by a number of young Ukrainian directors. Admission to all films is free. Tatsminda Park will host an arts and crafts fair on the 30th of April. It starts at 12 p.m. and lasts until evening. Admission is free, and guests will have the chance to buy arts and crafts made by local Tbilisi artists. The next Works in Progress talk is next Wednesday, the 3rd of April. The session isn't a lecture, but a public discussion where teachers, students, and anyone else who's interested are invited to talk about teaching and learning Georgian as a foreign language. Works in Progress talks are held at the Caucasus Research Resource Center at 1 Chavchavadze near Tbilisi State University. Popular travel magazine Atlas Obscura is putting on a guided tour of Rustaveli Avenue on the 6th of May. The tour starts in Pushkin Park near Freedom Square and ends near the monument to Shota Rustaveli. The cost is $10 per person. You can order tickets at atlasobscura.com. Synodoc Tbilisi 2017 is taking place from the 11th to the 16th of May. International Documentary Film Festival showcases films from around the world, including Georgia and other countries in the Caucasus. Movies will screen at locations around Tbilisi. The schedule hasn't been published yet, but once it has, we'll let you know. World Rugby Under-20 Championship 2017 will take place in Tbilisi and Kutaisi from the 31st of May to the 18th of June, with the final match taking place at Michal Meschi Stadium. The contestants are England, Ireland, Argentina, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, Wales, Scotland, France, Georgia, Italy, and Samoa. It's the second appearance for the Junior Lelos, who first qualified for the Under-20 Championship last year. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the form on the website www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 2012, Melbourne, Australia, this is The Bamboos and Medicine Man.